I'm sure all of us have either used the expression or heard the expression, this or that person, this or that thing is a real thorn in my side, or maybe a pain in the neck, or maybe a pain in, well, let's not go there. But St. Paul talks about a thorn that is in his side. What is this thorn? Well, various saints have tried to ponder what it could be. Was this thorn some kind of a physical ailment that constantly bothered St. Paul that he had to deal with? Or was it some kind of a person or group of persons that confronted him, persecuted him? Was it something like a spiritual issue, a weakness that he had, a temptation that he had to fight? We really don't know. But he does say that this was a gift from God to keep him from becoming too elated. Better translation would be too much filled with his own self. St. Paul says in our passage from 2 Corinthians that because of this, he heard the Lord say to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." And he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." St. Paul is talking about how, because of this, he has been opened to abundant graces, technically what we call actual graces, graces that help us to act. So actual graces are that sharing in the divine life, love, and strength of the Holy Trinity that enlighten our intellect, strengthen our will to do good and to avoid evil. These graces give us the power to keep persevering, not to become discouraged, but to keep persevering in our journey of faith, so that one day, with that grace, we can get to heaven. In a sense, this all helps us rely more and more on the power of God. So with that in mind, perhaps it would be good to think about what's the thorn that we bear? And we all bear something. Maybe some of us here do have some kind of physical ailment that is a real thorn. Or it could be more of a mental ailment. I've known people that have really struggled through conditions of depression or anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder. Very difficult. But in all of that, rather than looking at woe is me, we look at it as the graced opportunity to rely more and more on the love of God, to unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. Christ himself was wounded, not only physically, but when we think of all the mental anguish that he endured. Relying on his grace, though, we are united with him. So even though that thorn may not go away, it does make us stronger, knowing the presence of Christ, who will not abandon us. I think of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits who lived in the 1500s. He was a mercenary soldier. One day in battle, though, he was hit by a cannonball, which shattered part of his leg. They were able to take him to the hospital, which was a monastery hospital. During his time of recuperation, he asked for a couple of books to read. So the monks brought him The Life of Christ and a book about the saints. He probably thought, oh, great. But he read these things, and eventually, looking at the life of St. Francis and St. Dominic, he said, I could do what they did. And with that, once he was released from the hospital, albeit with this painful leg condition that lasted for the rest of his life, he went to the church, he laid down his sword at the altar, and declared himself a soldier for Christ. Again, he founded the Jesuits, but in all he looked upon this ailment, this thorn that he had to bear all his life, and said, I was wounded, but because of that wound, I became a soldier for Christ. And with my woundedness, I will be able, by God's grace, to help heal the wounds of this world. That's a saint. So the saint looked upon this not with despair, not depression or discouragement. He bore it with Christ. Perhaps, too, the thorn might be individuals or even groups of individuals. When St. Paul writes 2 Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians, he's had to deal with all kinds of problems in that church. He's faced attacks by both Jew and Gentile, both members in the church, members outside of the church. So he's faced all of this turmoil. But then so did Jesus. We hear that in the gospel, how our Lord was persecuted by others. Well, he didn't abandon his mission, whether St. Paul or our Lord. No, they took the thorn in the side and they still loved. But didn't Jesus do that? Think of it. Our dear Lord hung on that cross and he was ridiculed, attacked, all kinds of hateful things said to him, and yet he never lowered his standard. Yes, they said, if you come down, we'll believe in you. But he never lowered his standard. And he did say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Well, same thing for us too. Now, I remember my last time when I was a parochial vicar years ago in the 90s, that I was with a pastor who was very kind to me, a very good mentor. And so I was newly arrived, so he's showing me around, and we were in the church, and he pointed out this one lady, and he said, watch out, because there's the one who is so negative, always complaining about something. Well, don't you know, she started coming toward us. And so the pastor put on his big smile, and then he started doing the Jaws theme. Dun, 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 dun. And she came and she went through her little litany of complaints about this or that and so on. And he kept smiling. He said, God bless you. And she left and he said, oh my, what a thorn in my side. But there you have it. But think of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, whose statue is in the corner. Very young nun, Carmelite, cloistered. One of her assignments was to care for an elderly nun. Whatever St. Thérèse did, it wasn't right. It wasn't good enough. The soup was either too cold or too hot. Something was wrong. And also, this nun had a bad habit of clicking her teeth, which drove St. Thérèse crazy. Well, rather than just give in to it, she bore it with love. And she responded in love. And she looked upon this as uniting herself just as with Jesus as he did. And then, eventually, that elderly nun turned around and was very grateful, very friendly towards St. Thérèse. So for us too, maybe we have thorns. You might be sitting next to your thorn, I don't know. But if you, but if you think about it, you pray about that person. And again, don't lower yourself, but rather pray and look for God's grace so that whatever the difficulty is, it doesn't become internalized, but rather it becomes a way to show the love of our Lord. Now, the turmoil too, the thorn, could also be some kind of human weakness, some kind of temptation. We all have them. Maybe it's the impatience. Maybe it's slipping into some bad language here and there. Could happen. We think about our area, one of the greatest occasions of sin is driving. So when we drive, how many of us easily fall into impatience? Or maybe we say something unkind about the other driver. Might not be necessarily a bad word. It could be a regular English word like idiot, stupid, something like that. But we fall into it. Is it perfect? No. And maybe we confess this each time. Over and over and over again, we confess it with a contrite heart, but rather than get discouraged, let us thankfully say, our Lord loves us so much, He continues to forgive. He pours forth the grace so that hopefully we do get stronger and maybe become more patient in traffic, control our tongue better. Also think that better to confess those little sins than be comfortable with them and let them become the big sins. So let those little acts of impatience become the real outbursts of anger. Think of St. Jerome, great scripture scholar of the church, lived in the 400s. One of the few saints at the time, well, one of the few individuals at the time that knew fluently Hebrew, Greek, Latin. And so he could translate the scriptures. And he's the one who produced the Latin text of the Vulgate Bible. But St. Jerome had a sharp tongue. He could slice a person with his tongue. For good reason, in a sense, because it was always in dealing with someone who was teaching error, someone who was a heretic. Like there was a heretic named Helvidius. So he was having this debate with Helvidius. Helvidius finished, and St. Jerome said, "Well, thank you, Helvidius, for that canine eloquence, dog-like eloquence, but you are a heretic." There's another heretic named Pelagius, who was in Scotland. And St. Jerome wrote a letter to him that we still have, and St. Jerome said, "Pelagius, you are a bloated pig filled with Scots porridge, you heretic." Now, St. Jerome, though, was very penitent. Every night, he said his act of contrition in front of the crucifix, and he beat himself with a rock, asking for forgiveness. In all, I'm not saying become like St. Jerome, necessarily, in the bad sense, but we have our imperfections. We need God's grace, and we can overcome them, perhaps, but we keep striving. Thankfully, we have an infinitely merciful Lord. But why does this happen? St. Paul says he prayed that this thorn would be taken away, but it wasn't. Well, consider it. If everything was just fine, no challenges, if we thought we were so perfect, we probably would think, "I don't need God. I can save myself." We'd probably be on the road to damnation if we really had it so easy. The thorns are there to draw us into the love of the Lord, whatever it may be. The thorns are there to make us stronger, to rely more on God's grace. The thorns are there to make us realize we need a Savior who's going to walk with us and encourage us so that one day, persevering, we will enter heaven. So at our Mass today, whatever the thorn may be, offer it up. In a spiritual sense, put it in the chalice. Raise it up to the Lord, and let the Lord, through the gift of the Holy Eucharist, fill you once again with the grace that you need to go out and, like St. Paul, bear witness to the faith and the love of an infinitely merciful Savior. May God bless you.